course, I want to leave every single draft this year with, I don't know, one of Brock Bowers, Colson Loveland, Tyler Warren. They are probably my most drafted tight ends if I'm in a position to select them. But Hayden, what we have learned over the last few years, if you are able to either Dr. Frankenstein the tight end position in the later rounds or find that one late round tight end gem, i.e. Tucker Kraft, who was on this episode last year, then you have just a massive advantage versus the top 2, 3, 4 draft capital that your opponents spend on this position that can be quite a graveyard week to week. So with that in mind, these are our favorite tight end sleepers for 2026 fantasy football drafted either on Yahoo or Underdog pick 120 plus. And Hayden, I don't want you to give me one of these washed veterans. I want you to give me your spiciest take. Who is maybe an off the beaten path tight end that you want people to know about this year?
Maybe too deep. I don't love UCLA Bruins, but Greg Dulcich is my first answer here. This one's pretty straightforward. If you look at the highest drafted pass catcher on teams in fantasy, there's only a handful of tight ends who are the number one in ADP on their teams. Brock Bowers, Trey McBride, Tyler Warren, that all makes sense. Harold Fannin makes sense. The last one is Greg Dulcich. He's the first Dolphins pass catcher to be drafted at 183. Long story short, somebody is catching passes on the Dolphins. They might not score many touchdowns, but Greg Dulcich at the very end of the season mattered. There's no competition at tight end or at wide receiver. And I'll leave you with this. He was second in yards per route run last year, only behind Dalton Kincaid. So like this PPR scam, I think there's going to be limitations here. But in the deepest of sicko leagues that I know you guys are in, I do think that Greg Dulcich has a pretty good chance of being better than tight end 26.
If you weren't going to bring him up, I was. And I don't know what that says about me and you if we're absolute sickos. Yeah. But in this case, we are. And this is not like a boy who cried wolf situation. I've been doing this show with you for over 5 years at this point. You and I have never been like pro Greg Dulcich people. Yeah. We haven't suggested him in this show or much throughout off seasons like other shows have. But in this case, in this environment, it does make the most sense. Like, as you talked about, we want to find these tight ends that have a chance of being top two pass catchers, even if the offense isn't projected for a lot of points. And just going through like the Our Lads depth chart at wide receivers and especially at tight ends, Greg Dulcich is right there. And then you go deeper. You go look at the beat writers, right? Marcel Lewis-Jock over at ESPN, right? Greg Dulcich, quote, continues to be massively underrated and was, quote, one of the primary targets for Malik Willis in spring practices. They added Will Kaczmarek out of Ohio State, who is a pure blocker, and that is it. That frees up our guy this year, Greg Dulcich, to just catch passes. And think back to what Bobby Sloak did at the Houston Texans, multiple tight end sets, multiple heavy bodies, and that allowed Dalton Schultz to be the tight end 11 in points per game with him in 2023. So I love this like home run swing that also has a chance of being a massive zero. And if he is a zero, then you just drop him and move on.
And I think he's just gonna be like a waiver wire guy. I think in like your basic, you know, 12 person Yahoo league, you don't have to draft Greg Dulcich. Just don't be surprised when the first waiver wire show comes up and he's out there for 80% of the snaps and caught 5 passes. If we have some interest, I would say he's PPR only, like half PPR. I mean, this is going to be disgusting, but I do think there's a lot of things going right for him. The part that you mentioned, the offseason stuff, has been really promising for Greg Dulcich. This is about the window when you enter the prime of your career. Third round pick, always been a receiving type. And then when I went back and watched him, I mean, this is Mike McDaniel for you. They were doing cheat motions for Greg Dulcich, sprinting toward the sideline, cutting back upfield on dig patterns, like the stuff that you would typically see with Tyreek Hill. Greg Dulcich was doing that. He has some yards after the catch moment. He's an athletic receiving type. So like if you were into Chika Kwankwo last year, it's like that type of profile here. I'm just hoping that like, because there's nobody else to throw the ball to, this can be like one of the more higher end outcomes for like a pure receiving type.
You just said if you were into Chika Kwankwo last year, Hayden, I got news for you. What if you're into Chika Kwankwo this year?
I got bad news for you.
For the third time this summer, I'm bringing him up on this program. I'm not the only one. Ian was, I think, on the show with his 5 favorite players. And Ian brought up now new Washington Commander Chika Kwankwo, who's going as the tight end 17 over an Underdog, tight end 21 in your home leagues over on Yahoo. My simple pitch for this is, you know, I think he really can be David Blau's Sam Laporta, in that Sam Laporta, certainly not the biggest of the tight ends. And Ben Johnson does, I think, a great job of kind of masking that in Detroit's offense, where he was kind of doing those same cheat motions. He was working into stacks. He would be lined up as a wide receiver and motion inside. And it's just on this same path of, at least right now, it's Terry McLaurin and a whole bunch of questions. And so, sure, can a pure blocker like John Bates throw a wrench and finally Chigo Kwankwo getting over, you know, 70% of a route run rate on this team? Potentially. But I also think like this is a much different environment than the one he was with in Tennessee, where they are. I mean, obviously the Titans, not the greatest wide receiver room, but they obviously, the Commanders paid so much for Chigo Kwankwo, made him a primary target for now a play caller that wants to incorporate more traditional stuff, more some heavier bodies, more under center work, and, you know, worked and played under someone like Ben Johnson, who has kind of managed, albeit a lesser version than Sam Laporta, in this style, to really get him going and accentuate his strengths.
Yeah, I think this one just comes down to, like, is Brandon Ayuk for real or not? Is Steph Diggs for real or not?
If well, we know Brandon Ayuk is not, like, for real.
Well, he's not for real, but he might, like, for real be a Commander in a couple weeks. And I think that would be a more interesting conversation. I think in the status quo right now, I think Chigo Kwankwo is a totally fine pick. And if one of the veterans comes in, obviously that's going to take a pretty big hit, because we're just kind of expecting him, hey, like, somebody's got to catch passes. Might as well be him, because he is the actual number two right now.
It's so fitting to me, though. He's right next to Aronde Gadsden, who, yeah, like, somewhat profiles are similar, albeit Aronde Gadsden is now on a team with three tight ends on it and, you know, multiple wide receivers. And while Aronde Gadsden has had much better spike weeks than Chigo Kwankwo has in their early careers, I just see the pathway. And sure, I'm maybe banking on some perceived volume here, and that can totally change by week one or week seven and all that rolls around. But if Chigo Kwankwo goes up like two rounds, then I'm probably out on that price. But where he's going right now, again, is tight end 17 over an underdog. I am highly intrigued.
Yep. If Brandon Ayuk doesn't wind up there, I think it's going to be a totally fine pick right here. I think he's going to be a tight end too. But where he's being drafted, that's where he is.
Okay. We've talked a lot about, you know, this new wave of tight end blood and how that's kind of changed the position, and all these guys are drafted earlier. That means that the olds, the unks of the group, are now like dropping further and further and actually qualify here. So I know I have one, and you brought one here as well.
Yeah, Mark Andrews. I mean, he's just right on the, you don't have to know about the sleeper with Mark Andrews. Just the reality is, behind Zay Flowers, it's nobody. Like, obviously they lose Isaiah Likely. It's pretty much like Bateman, who's really hasn't done anything for a couple of years now, and then a couple like fringe day two rookie wide receivers. So if Lamar Jackson turns back to an MVP, it'll be hard for Mark Andrews to not matter. Now, last year, on a per route basis, per target basis, it was easily the worst of his career. That is very, you know, that's probably the reason why his ADP is dropping, and there's right reasons for that. This is just like blindly Lamar Jackson. There's nobody else beyond Zay Flowers. Like, he's just going to be out there. And I would not be surprised if he had 7-8 touchdowns this year, even if he's not the same player. And just going back and watching, he's not the same player. Like, we shouldn't expect that. This is just a pure great quarterback volume play, and just we'll figure out the rest later.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about the wide receiver room and the status of that. What also gave us frustration is any given game or any given series, we didn't know how much Mark Andrews was going to play based on the Charlie Kolars, the Patrick Ricards, and the Isaiah Likelys of the world. Every single one of those players are gone. They have brought in Durham Smythe and Matt Hibner, and then someone, either almost said Scott Lucas, but apparently it's Lucas Scott is his name. So it's always a dangerous task when you have two first names as your name. I mean, one of the craziest stats with Mark Andrews was back in 2024. When he had 15 red zone targets and 11 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the hottest of hot streaks you can ever run, because he actually had 14 targets inside the red zone last year and ended up with three touchdowns. I mean, that is such a gigantic and seismic difference of how you're going to, even if the targets are in the same area, how effective and successful you're going to be as a fantasy asset. And sure, you know, some of that was without Lamar Jackson, but also just the high variance-ness of this position that reminds and relies so much on touchdowns. But he's out there all the time, and that's what we want.
My last note is Declan Doyle. He's a 30-year-old offensive coordinator. This is our first real look at him. What if he's Ben Johnson? What if he's Liam Cohen? We just don't know. Like, there is like, at least some upside where it's not just like Greg Roman again here. Like, there's some upside where, like, hey, we have a boy genius play caller for Lamar Jackson. So a little upside there.
I do think that Todd Monken was pretty good for Mark Andrews in that he built the red zone passing offense around him. And if he ran the ball, it was Lamar and Derrick Henry.
Yeah. I saw Lamar's won MVP his first two times with new offensive coordinators, just to be the third one. So, you know, if you want to believe in that, whatever trend, go for it.
There you go. And Mark Andrews does fit this list. I mean, he's 125 overall on underdog. That is tight end 11. But in your home leagues on Yahoo, he's tight end 15. Okay. My old man is Dallas Goedert, tight end 15 on underdog in the 12th round. He's going even earlier in your home leagues, obviously, as tight end 12 on Yahoo. 11 touchdowns last year. But that replaced, you know, an average of just four catches for 40 yards per game, which is really low. I think is lowest since 2021. Again, I'll continue to say it. The easy math here is that we want to target tight ends who have a chance of being top two pass catchers within their offense. And without AJ Brown on this offense, that is more possible than ever for Dallas Goedert as a member of the Philadelphia Eagles. And then with Sean Mannion, who was coming from the Green Bay Packers coaching staff that highlighted the strengths of Tucker Kraft, the yards after the catch, like that is a possibility. Now, Dallas Goedert now is 31. We know the contract saga that went on at the beginning of this offseason. He certainly does not move like he used to. But, you know, after Devontae Smith, it is Mekhi Lemon, who's a rookie that we love, but a rookie, and Dontavian Wicks, who is certainly not Mr. Reliable out there. So if we get some changes and some positive ones, we've not only seen Dallas Goedert be in like the RPO short screen game that can generate some stuff, and especially in the red zone, but down the seams, he works vertically there too. Yeah. And so this is the cheapest it feels like we can get Dallas Goedert on really an offense that we still want pieces from.
Yeah, he's tight end 7 in expected points, finishes a tight end 5. A lot of those touchdowns were like, they're a lot of attention on the tush push. What if we just threw the ball to Dallas Goedert real quick? Like maybe we continue some of that. Like that's could be 3 free touchdowns for us. Maybe it's not gonna be 6 of those, but maybe it's 2 or 3 of them. We'll take those. And then yeah, obviously when you're losing AJ Brown, like the targets are gonna go somewhere. I think there's like obviously the other players you just named are gonna soak up some of it. But yeah, I think Dallas Goedert's totally fine pick here. Also average, you know, 40 yards per game. That's not nothing at this position. So he's not only touchdown reliant. I think he's gonna be a fringe tight end 1-2. I don't view him that dissimilar to a lot of the tight ends that go, you know, just a couple of picks before him.
Okay. Before we reveal our final two names, hit subscribe. Join us here on the channel. We hit 173,000. We need 175,000 subscribers. It's totally free to all of you. And we'll have plenty more content this summer to help you win your fantasy football league. All right. I think these two names we also discussed on this very program last year, and they had really strong seasons, and yet you can still draft them very, very late. So who is next for you?
So this would be like my favorite, like true sleeper of the three. I think this is someone that could like is a true sleeper that can finish potentially as a low end tight end 1. That's AJ Barner. He's 24. He plays for the Seahawks, by the way, in that Super Bowl. He played 95% snaps and then 90% snaps in the Super Bowl and the conference championship. So when everything's on the line, he's a full-time player. He's definitely athletic enough. He's a kick-ass blocker. I think he's one of the most underrated tight ends in the league, period. And this is one of those teams where I like Rashid Shaheed, who's one of my wide receiver sleepers. But the number 2 pass catcher on the Seahawks is wide open. It's a race between Barner and Shaheed, maybe Cooper Kupp. And then what happens if JSN moves out of the way? So historically, we're looking for the first or second pass catchers on NFL teams. That's your starting fantasy tight end options. I do think there's a chance AJ Barner could qualify as that. He's just a totally fun player, and when it mattered, he was useful for the Seahawks.
You have to score more touchdowns to be fantasy relevant. He scored quite a few last year. It does concern me that, you know, he wasn't even, I think, in the top 25 in yards per game among tight ends last year. But you know, the Seahawks were 7th in number of red zone drives per game. He scored 5 of 6 touchdowns in the red zone. And then I believe you just said this in 3 wide receiver sets, they only ran that 42% of the time. This is very much a 21-12 mm-hmm. personnel team. And when they let go of Noah Fant, everyone wanted to say Elijah Arroyo. And you and I were sitting here saying, actually, it's AJ Barner. He's going to be out there on the field all the time. And that's the case. It's going to be Barner and Arroyo or Barner and Boots. And that's it. Yep. And, Barner's a really good player, and he's one of these guys who already had a really strong skill set coming to league as a run blocker, as like a sixth offensive lineman. And then you can just see with his athleticism, the receiving game growing each and every year. And what, now in year three, maybe it's taking another leap.
The new Seahawks OC, obviously they lost Clint Kubiak, comes from the San Francisco 49ers. They might know a thing or two about these tight ends.
And 12 and 21 with like the Kyle Juszczyk and the George Kittles and the Tonges and all the of the world.
Yeah, maybe he turns into George Kittle. You never know.
My name that I loved last summer is Brenton Strange. I'm actually stunned that we can get him as tight end 19 on Underdog and tight end 17 on Yahoo. That probably speaks to the position a little bit. But I also think it speaks to him missing a chunk of time last year. But when he returned from injury, 5 of the final 7 weeks, he scored as a tight end 5, 5, 10, 19, and 5 per game. I know you can look at it on paper and say, well, the Jaguars just invested, you know, 2 draft picks on tight ends and also added Quentin Morris, I believe, from the Buffalo Bills. To me, that's all a sign that we can get even more like receiving work here from Brenton Strange. That is to free him up, because when he went down, they could not run 12 personnel at all, and it kind of stalled their offense for periods of time. John Shipley, our buddy, ranked Brenton Strange as the 4th most important Jaguar of the 2026 season.
Wow.
Jaguars agreed. They just paid him, you know, a nice contract. The reason Shipley said that, amongst all receivers with at least 20 targets last year, Strange ranked number 1 with both total receiving EPA and receiving EPA per target. So he's a weapon in the run game, and I think he's a growing weapon in the pass game along the same lines that I said that he started off as an athlete that could block and now is growing as an athlete who can be, have some receiving chops. Then the downside here, and I'm sure you're going to bring it up, lots of receiving competition here with the Jaguars.
Yeah, the receiving competition is the big one. From week 12 on, though, including the postseason, he was tight end 11 in expected points, and he's a good football player. So there's a pathway, despite a bunch of competition, that he still kind of holds the line. I do think an injury to one of the receivers would certainly help him out. But if they are going to pivot to 12 personnel, he's going to be on the field for those snaps while one of the wide receivers he's technically competing with is standing on the sideline. So I think this is about right for him. If there was Parker Washington or Jacoby Myers didn't exist, I think this would be like a wheel it in home run pick. I kind of understand the ADP, but I'm not ignoring him. He's too good of a player, like you and Shipley are forecasting.
All right. I've got 2 quick names just because I have to throw them out there just in case they hit so I can bring it up.
Okay.
That we did. You know how this job works.
Yeah,
and we've already talked about them in the second year tight end show, right? Gunnar Helm and Terrence Ferguson. With Gunnar Helm, this is the Tennessee Titans. Obviously, they've brought in and drafted wide receivers, and he might be, you know, the 3rd or 4th pass catcher, and only ran a route on 38% of dropbacks last year. And he's not one of these types that I absolutely love because his testing athleticism wasn't great. He also had a tennis ball attached to his ankle that he rolled in his 40-yard dash. So I will say we'll never know his true athletic profile. But he does make tight window catches. He does snatch the ball away from his frame. I think he sits in zone pretty well and makes himself pass friendly. And I think he's going to be the tight end 1 for the Titans. And then quickly with Terrence Ferguson, just because he's unique. He's almost a unicorn at the tight end position with how he's used. Again, so much 13 personnel for that Rams team, and he was Tutu Atwell in that 13 personnel.
Yes.
Like 15 of his 31 targets were 20 plus yards down the field. There is no other tight end in the league that does that.
Ever.
And so I think there is a chance that somehow he is the most talented tight end in the Rams room by the end of the season. The season is very long. And I'm just a big T-Ferg guy.
Yeah. I think T-Ferg and Colby Parkinson are both totally fine picks in best ball. I think like week 1, week 2 rolls around, we finally get the snap shares, and we'll obviously talk about that in our recap and stats versus film. We'll have better answers, but those are great dart throws. The other one, he didn't technically qualify. Isaiah Likely is, you know, the punt tight end in redraft that you can start in week 1 and week 2. If you don't want to spend a premium pick, you miss out on the Kyle Pitts tier, and you're just like punting this thing off. If Malik Nabers isn't going to be out there for week 1, he is by far the number 1 Giants pass catcher, and like, that's all it takes. And there's untapped ceiling with him in a semi full-time role. So I think Isaiah Likely, he didn't qualify this, but like punt tight end sleeper. Could he finish as the tight end 8 this year? I think like absolutely, especially in the month of September, which is what we're focused on, at least in redraft initially.
All right. That does it. We're actually going to post running back rankings early next week. Not running back rankings, running back sleepers early next week. We just didn't fit it in time for the fourth. We want to take some time off, you know, for you, so you can watch our other programs from the summer and, you know, draft some more teams this weekend on top of it. All right. That is going to do it. Shout out to all of you who hit subscribe. Leave a thumbs up on this video too before you get out of here, and we'll see you in the next program.